We're back with episode number 9 of Media... Why do I have a British accent right now?
I don't know. I was just about to ask.
Mediocrity, episode 9, where the show is just... It's okay. We're just okay. We're mediocre. I'm Brian Kluger with BoomstickComics.com, HighDefDigest.com, and the Entertainment Answer on the radio, 660 AM, K-Sky. And I'm with an amazing, a beautiful... The biggest Lord of the Rings fan you'll ever know, Jonathan Atterbury.
Good evening to you, sir. Or afternoon, I suppose. What time is it? I don't know.
Yeah, we're being very proper.
Yeah.
Fuck us,
I
right?
I say hello.
I say hello.
Indeed.
You doing all right?
I'm doing
great.
Did
you get a haircut?
I did get a haircut.
You got a haircut.
Thanks for noticing.
Like, you're very welcome. It's kind of, you've got like a lot on top and the sides are shaved.
Yeah.
You're looking very well, sir.
Thank you.
How does the downstairs look? Is it the same?
I'm going with the same look.
The same look downstairs.
Shaved on the sides, a lot going in the middle.
Fantastic.
A cubic mohawk, one might say.
I like it. And you've got a Star Wars shirt on today.
I do.
It's your like patriotic Star Wars shirt.
Yeah,
on.
Exactly. It's the Millennium Falcon blowing the American flag out of the exhaust.
I like it. You doing all right?
Doing great.
New American Fitness, any news?
Yeah, keeping busy with the New American Fitness stuff. Articles, new online clients, new personal training clients, blah, 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 blah. Fun stuff.
Good stuff. And you know who we have here in between us today?
Who?
An amazing man. One of the greatest comic book artists ever known to man. The amazing, who's about to be Uncle Jeremy Maygard. How are you?
I am quite good, sir.
So, last week we missed you. We thought you you were suffering from an ailment.
Mm-hmm.
What was that ailment?
I sprained my ankle while jogging.
That's his story.
It's epic.
What was the real story, Jonathan?
I think he did serve that he had a raging case of pussyfoot.
That's correct. A raging case, the debilitating case.
That sounds scientific.
It's very scientific.
It's very scientific. But you're doing, if for you at home, maybe we should get a picture of this or something like that. But Jeremy's ankle is actually very swollen. It's his right ankle, and it is... The size of a peanut butter and banana sandwich.
And he's got it propped up on Brian's back, actually. Brian's on all fours right now.
Yeah, I'm doing the podcast from the floor. I'm the footstool right now. But so you got it done jogging, and was it just like the worst pain you felt in a while?
It was pretty bad. It was just jogging and was out running with Josie and my dog Baker and just stepped and then heard/felt a pop and then crashed. You know, very hard into the pavement.
You're just getting old.
It's that old age just took over.
It's your old age.
His body hit 40 in that moment.
Hey, it's not the years. It's the mileage.
It's the mileage. He's been around.
That's
you
why it was slightly before the actual birthday.
Exactly.
Your body's about 3 weeks older than your actual age.
But even worse, though, was the, like, probably slightly more than a quarter mile walk back home.
Were you just, like, hopping on one foot?
No, like, Josie was there, and so it was, like, sort of, like, limping, her kind of supporting me.
Oh.
It was bad.
It was bad.
And it was hot as fuck outside.
And I remember, because you said you hurt your foot or something like that.
Yeah.
And I said, are you going to be able to make the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, or do you need a ride? And your response was, no, I just hurt my foot, not my vagina.
No, that's not exactly what I said. No. I said it's a sprain, not a vagina.
Okay, there you go. That's what you said. And then, turns out...
Your misquote made it a little not exactly correct.
But... Still, next day, he couldn't come to the podcast.
I can't get my socks on.
I couldn't even get a sock on my foot. I was like... And all I was worried about, because, like, the hardest thing is, like, going, like, when there's, like, an incline or a decline, like, in a sidewalk, That's the worst. And so, like, at that point, literally, I was having to, like, hop on 1 foot, like, around the house. And I was like, man, I can't risk, like, hopping down my sidewalk and then up the sidewalk and then, yeah. That was just too much.
Oh, well, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're better. We're going to have a great show for you today. This is our 9th episode. We're going to talk about some of our favorite and the best and the worst of, like, these comedy stand-up specials that you see on HBO or Netflix. We're also going to talk about our favorite and the worst, you know, animated TV shows of history and what we love. We're also going to talk about some of the greatest RPGs and first-person shooters video game-wise. And to start us off, we're going to talk about that Rogue One trailer. Because I know, if I know anybody who's into Star Wars, it's going to be Jeremy and Jonathan here. They're just Star Wars nuts. So whenever that Rogue One trailer posted, I'm sure they've watched it 100 times. They've dissected it. Before we jump in the Rogue One, you told me just before we started the show that you bought a new comic and that it just blew your mind. What was it?
Pretty great. It was Judge Dredd versus Aliens versus Predator.
So, oh my gosh, it's like all like, just like three worlds colliding into like this just, this ooze of like geekery and nerdy. A delicious ooze of like, oh God.
I got the first issue and it was fantastic.
So, none of them are teamed up. They're all just fighting each other? Is there, well, like a law that
issue,
Judge Dredd...
Issue one is the setup, and what it is Judge Dredd is out, but he's not in Mega City 1, he's like out patrolling like the cursed earth looking for fugitives, and the fugitives flee into this like foresty area or whatever, but in that forest area like the Predator is actually hunting and gets captured, and the people that capture the Predator go into a ship and find a xenomorph skull.
Okay.
And so there's a scientist dude, you know, that, like, does genetic experimentation, and he basically grows a face hugger.
Sweet. That sounds awesome. Who writes it? Who draws it?
I don't remember the names of the dudes offhand.
But is it by the Boom Studios?
I think it's IDW and Dark Horse.
Okay. Oh, man, that sounds really
so
cool.
Chris Mooneyham is the artist, but I don't offhand remember the other dude's names.
Is Rob Schneider in the comic yet?
I haven't seen him, but I hope so.
I hope so too. Moving on, we will hope you get that comic. Let us know what you think. But let's talk Rogue One. This movie's coming out in December. It is the next Star Wars, you know, out of the Star Wars canon. It takes place in between Episode 3 and 4, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
And the trailer was just so good. I'm just going to bring it to you guys because I'm sure y'all just. Tell me what you thought about Rogue One. What do you think so far? What have you seen? What do you like? What do you not like?
I think it looks incredible. Jeremy and I were just discussing this a few days ago when it first came out about how excited we are about it. It looks like it's going to be awesome. I mean, so we've got everything.
So what's the story? What's the story?
Well,
Rogue One?
As far as I know, I don't really know the story yet because I don't think anyone fully knows the story yet. But it's essentially breaking down the story of how they captured the plans for the Death Star.
The original one.
The original Death Star,
so yeah. That's what Princess Leia in the first movie was
putting into R2-D2.
Correct.
Right. Them off
so this is about getting those plans to destroy the Death Star.
Exactly. It's about the people that had how they got the plans to destroy the Death Star, and then they turned that over to Princess Leia in Episode 4, A New Hope.
Okay. What do you think about the trailer, Jeremy?
I loved it. It was great seeing original Stormtrooper armor running around everywhere. That's my favorite thing about it.
So that's your favorite thing about it?
Yeah, I love the old Stormtrooper armor.
So as far as like old Stormtrooper being from the first movie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, yeah.
So they also had in there, they had the Death Troopers, which are apparently like an elite squad of Stormtroopers. They're the ones that are
very
all black.
Cool.
Looks super cool. They also, I was watching this thing, in a tiny little corner of one shot, you can see a new type of Stormtrooper, which is called a shore trooper. And it's basically like they're specifically for aquatic landings.
You know, so because in the trailer, I've never seen this in a Star Wars movie, but they're like in a tropical Hawaiian type setting with palm trees and
exactly.
clear water.
There's
and a
two
beach.
Planets that are taking place in that trailer, from what I could tell. One of them, I forget the name of that tropical planet, and the other one was on this planet called Jeddah, apparently, which is place where it's apparently where all like the original Jedi came from, and so it's like a hub for the Force users, one might say.
I like it because the thing that's interesting about these planets is in all of the other Star Wars movies, the way that George Lucas wrote it was like, this planet has all sand, nothing but sand. What about water? No, there's nothing but sand. On this planet, I want ice. What about... No, just ice. Everything is frozen. This planet is all lava. The whole planet is lava.
There's George Lucas for you.
This planet is one city.
There's a forest.
What about this? No, it's just a city.
Just a whole thing. Giant city.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to see... Like Star Wars,
like a real Earth, like a real type of place to live.
That has like an ecosystem where it's like it's not like Kamino, where it's like this planet is all water, and this is where the clones are made. And I was like, wait, there's a beach and palm trees. That's not very Star Wars.
All the clones are made on a planet of water with aliens. Oh my gosh! You bring up bad memories of episodes 1, 2, and 3.
It was also pretty awesome to see the AT-ATs.
That's nice.
That was really cool. Yeah, those action scenes with those.
Yeah, although apparently it's not an AT-AT. It's a slight difference. Apparently it's the all-terrain armored cargo transport. So it's got a bigger, fatter belly than the normal AT-ATs had. Slight
Only
difference.
Only you guys would notice this.
I thought that was cool.
That was pretty cool. So directing this movie is Gareth Edwards, and he directed the amazing independent film called Monsters, where it was about a couple going through Mexico trying to get back to the U.S., and these giant monsters are around.
It was a great film.
So good. And then he directed the recent Godzilla remake, which was fantastic. Like, just visually, it was pleasing.
It all looks like it's going to be really good. I like the characters. I liked Donnie Yen's character.
Yeah, he's going to be a badass. I mean, those toys are going to sell.
Apparently, he's force sensitive. Like, he's a guy kind of like Maz Kanata, I think that was her name, in The Force Awakens, where they're more force sensitive, but they're not actually Jedi.
Right.
And I like that they're bringing that in. So, like, we're not just getting a straight Jedi kind of Sith battle. It's like they're making an effort to kind of expand the Star Wars kind of force stuff, like in the movies.
Yeah, because in the trailer you do see the Death Star, like it's fully functional, and at the end of the trailer you do see Darth Vader, like you see the back of his helmet.
They gave you the gist of tip for a second to see how it feels.
And it felt good. Absolutely. I wanted to go deep.
It felt great. I was like, oh, I want to feel that some more.
And put it all in.
Yeah.
All over my face.
But I'm curious to see how much time gets covered in this movie. Like, does it end of like with the princess having the plans? Where does it at?
Because episode 4 started with R2 and 3PO taking the pod out.
Yeah.
That's basically where it
the
started.
The Empire's
they started with the Corvette.
Correct, yeah. So that's. It's a good question. Where does this one start and where does it leave off? Because you do have the young Skywalker on his planet tending to, power converters still. You have Han Solo and Chewie running amok.
Moisture evaporators. Back.
Moisture.
Yeah. I can
moisture?
See that.
He wanted to get a power converter.
For the moisture evaporator. I'm in a sea of nerdery right now. Do you think that they'll make mention to any of that or the Millennium Falcon of what they're doing? Or do you think this is strictly about these new characters with Vader has taken over?
I'm sure that original characters will be mentioned at some point because we're going to have like people like Mon Mothma. We're going to have Bail Organa.
Yeah, he's in it. So I was wondering if we were actually going to end up getting a glimpse of young Leia in the movie at some point.
Well, it wouldn't be that much younger. So he may just be like, she's off doing other stuff. We may get something.
I'm curious to see if we actually see Vader, how he became so powerful. Because at the end of episode 3, he kind of just turns into him and that's it. Then we don't see anything until he's already in power in 4.
See, for me, like from everything I can tell, I would assume the timeline of this movie is going to be within 5 years of A New Hope.
Yes.
So it's not going to be that much before.
Well, because the Death Star is already built. Like, in that trailer, it is fully functional. And
I have a feeling, that they're going to be, because there's one scene where it almost looks like the Jedha planet is exploding. So I'm thinking they may be blowing up Jedha to test it.
I'm seriously thinking this might take place, the week before episode 4. Because she has the plans. She got the plans, and now Leia has it and trying to...
And they're on Yavin 4 and Mon Mothma. They all look the same, so it's not that far before.
And like the Rebellion doesn't have it. Am I right?
Doesn't have what?
The plans yet, because they don't see it until...
They're capturing the plans. That's the whole...
But the whole thing is that nobody else has seen these plans. Yeah. So it might, that might take place right there.
Those Bothan spies are sneaky. I didn't even see them in the preview.
Well, didn't the Bothan spies capture the plans for the second Death Star?
Oh, I don't know.
I think the Bothan spies got up the second plans. I may be mistaken. Because that's when she was like, Mothma was like, many Bothans died to bring this into the
situation. That's the Mothan joke.
Okay. Get it right.
He was staying up all night getting that joke in.
I ruined it.
That one was improvised. If I stayed up all night, it would have been correct.
Now, somebody mashed up the Rogue One trailer with this song by the Beastie Boys, Sabotage. That was an excellent mashup. If you haven't seen it, watch the real trailer and then watch that one, because they did a great job with it.
That song makes most things better.
Yes, it does.
I like to play it when I'm pooping.
Oh, really? It helps that?
Yeah.
Well,
it helps most things seem way cooler.
We've gone off the rails. We have, but hey, we're Mediocrity. Where can they find us?
Twitter, Instagram,
media,
Facebook.
Media_Ocrity, Mediocrity.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome, awesome. So, all right, that's our Rogue One. Let us know what you think about the Rogue One trailer. We'd like to know your thoughts, and we cannot wait till the second trailer where maybe we have Darth Vader come in and say, we're getting the band back together. Or... we're home. Something like that. Something similar to the last one we saw. Let's move on to video games. Let's do video games. So, you wrote in the rundown for the show that you want to talk about your like the best ever RPGs and the best ever first-person shooters. So, RPG is role-playing. Explain to our listeners who really don't, who might not know what RPG versus first-person shooter means.
All right. To give... like an easy example of two kind of classic games, a first-person shooter would be something like Halo, where it's a first-person view, so you're looking at the tip of the gun that your character.
You can't see the body. You just see the body, maybe your gun,
and that's it.
Yes.
So that's like Halo, Call of Duty, things like that.
Okay.
RPG role-playing games are games that are typically a lot longer, a lot more in-depth. You have choices you can make within the game. You're leveling up your characters. Frequently, they revolve around fantasy storylines, sometimes sci-fi.
And you can see the whole character. You see the whole character walk around. You see their body.
Sometimes they're like first-person, like a game like Skyrim or something like that. Those are first-person, but typically they're more often third-person. I think that what kind of classifies it as a role-playing game is when you have more choices that you as a player can make.
Okay.
As opposed to it being kind of on the rails like so many other games.
So with you two personally, which do you prefer? Which does your mind go to? RPGs or first-person shooters?
I probably overall enjoy more RPGs. But now you have games where you have so much, where they're blending elements, where it's like it's an RPG, but then there's so many kind of shooter-based action elements. And so I really enjoy a lot of games like that. I'd probably say, you know, my favorite of the RPGs is probably Mass Effect.
Mass Effect.
Yeah.
You're a big Mass Effect fan.
Love the
Mass Effect. How many of those are there?
There are three.
Three. Are they making a fourth one?
Their fourth one, is it next year?
Have they announced a date yet? I didn't even know if they've announced it officially. I might be mistaken.
I'm going to look it up.
Look it up. What about you?
I like the two for different reasons. I'd say they're probably my two favorite genre of video games, but I like RPG for when I'm playing solo.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm sitting down on the couch and I'm just playing by myself, then I will play an RPG.
Okay.
Most times. However, I like first-person shooters to play with friends.
Yeah.
That's when it's most fun. I get bored with first-person shooters by myself.
Yeah, because there's not smack talk or laughter
and
or anything like that.
There's usually not a whole lot of story involved. Not to say all the time. Sometimes there's great story in those games, but I do find I get bored faster with the first-person shooters unless I'm playing multiplayer.
So back when, you know, Nintendo came out or Super Nintendo came out, what were some of your favorite games? And do you consider, like, Mario or anything like that an RPG, or is that, like, just side-scrolling?
Mario did have a few RPGs. There was, Super Nintendo, there was a Mario RPG, I think that was called, the name of it. And I think there was another one called Paper Mario.
Yeah, Paper Mario, which they redid for the Wii at some point.
Yeah, so those were some. I mean, they had, like, a few of the Final Fantasy games on Super Nintendo.
Right.
They had Chrono Trigger on Super Nintendo.
So what's Chrono Trigger? Because I don't know that game.
Chrono Trigger, it's been so long since I played it, but it's one of the big, like, early RPGs that was hugely popular. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think, pretty much like a medieval setting, but it did hop timelines a bit. And just a really cool kind of... It set the tone for the Japanese RPGs that would come later, like Final Fantasy VII, stuff like that.
Okay, all right. What about you? Do you remember something that you loved playing growing up?
Early stuff... And I'm trying to remember, because there was a lot of stuff like, we used to play like the wrestling games and Excite
Bike. Oh, yeah.
And those stuff. So early games, though, like Twisted Metal was probably one of my first, like, early.
I remember playing that with you.
Shit out of that game.
I beat you so many times in that game. So many.
What about
times.
RPGs or first person shooters, though?
First person shooters, man, like, that was pretty early, because, I mean, like, I think the first person shooter that was on those consoles was, I think there was a version of Doom.
Yeah, that was
maybe on like the
Super
first
Nintendo,
PlayStation also, and that was pretty fun.
All right.
Because that was one of the first games where you were walking around where, you know, you'd be in a dark room and you would hear like a monster's noise, and each of the monsters had specific noises, so you kind of knew what was somewhere in the dark waiting for you in the room.
I'm trying to think if there was anything on console that was much earlier as far as a first-person shooter goes than Doom. That may have been one of the first.
It's the first one I can think of.
Because I can think of a few, like Wolfenstein and stuff like that, but those were on PC.
Yeah.
So I think Doom may have been the first, but correct me if I'm wrong.
I have Doom written down, but yeah. I mean, those games, I mean, they're so iconic. Like Wolfenstein, it's just the... With Wolfenstein, is it Wolfenstein or Wolfenstein?
I think it's Wolfenstein.
Wolfenstein, yeah. So it's not the Steen, not the Jew.
Way. Yes.
I play that still because I've downloaded it on my Xbox One, and I mean the graphics are horrible, but that's still that game still gets me.
Yeah.
Because I mean you're killing Nazis, but the nostalgia probably part of it, and just how fun it is just opening doors, not knowing what's behind there. A dog or a Nazi.
Yeah.
It's simple. Shoot, go to the next elevator.
Did you try the new one that they put out? Bethesda.
I have not.
It's a lot of fun. They did a good job with it.
They did?
Mm-hmm. It's very good.
I have got to play that.
Yeah, it's good. So, as far as like first-person shooters, though, as one was a little bit later, I think we can't ignore GoldenEye.
I have GoldenEye absolutely written down.
It was huge on Nintendo 64.
There were parties that I remember having where all you did was play GoldenEye on the split screen of four.
On a probably small little 20-inch television.
Yeah, with that giant controller.
Yeah.
I play that all the time. Like, I remember the maps, even. You get to...
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was very Star Fox-esque looking.
Well, that's because it's a Nintendo 64
correct,
game. I think, was Star Fox done by Rare? I don't think so.
But like, I mean, like, the block-esque type
just
of
crappy graphics.
Yeah. I remember playing that, but it was so fun. I remember you had that golden gun, and you're like, yes, one shot, dead.
You got to turn off the golden gun for multiplayer.
Yes, you do.
And nobody can be Jaws, because that's just unfair.
Yeah, that is just unfair.
Or Oddjob. Either one is distinct high disadvantage.
Oh, man, that was back in, like, 1994?
Probably around there.
Something like that. Oh, my gosh. Do you remember playing GoldenEye?
I did play a ton of GoldenEye. I think there's an HD remake right now that's either about to come out or just came out.
It's GoldenEye Source, I think, is the name of it. It's for PC exclusively.
So, yeah, if you're unfamiliar with GoldenEye, which you shouldn't be, it's a James Bond video game right after the Pierce Brosnan movie came out.
Perhaps the only good James Bond video game ever made.
Was there any other James Bond video game ever made?
There were lots of games.
Don't even remember.
None of them were good.
GoldenEye was... It was that multiplayer.
Yeah, it was. And it was, I mean, even the campaign was fun. It was just because it was so revolutionary, I think.
Yes, which is so weird to think about, like, GoldenEye. Where have they gone from there? Nowhere. That was, like, the last good Bond game.
It's been a while, guys.
It's been a while. GoldenEye is one of the greatest ones. And you mentioned this one, Halo. I mean, when Halo came out, it changed the game. It changed, the gaming world.
I think that Halo was probably the first...
Like blockbuster of video games?
Yeah, I mean, it was huge. When it first came out, everyone was just like, oh my god, have you played Halo? It seems like everybody was talking about it.
Because
when it was new.
When you go back on Halo or Halo 2, those old ones, which came out, 1999, 2000, 2001, something like that?
Something like that.
It it was so fluid and so much fun. The alien worlds were crazy. The guns were insanely
getting
fun.
In the vehicles. That was a pretty new thing.
Yeah,
too.
Driving the vehicles everywhere. It was so much fun. And then the spawning, and then of course the online playability with it.
Yeah,
connect with people. It brought on a ton of other. I think that Call of Duty was spawned from Halo.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. I mean, I think Halo started the console first-person shooter craze. That's still going on now.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get away from it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so much fun because there's so many good things out there. But Halo's always, I'll tell you this, the best time I've ever had video gaming, the best time, was with Halo 3 with you two a couple other people.
I think same thing goes for us.
Trying to go beat campaigns and then making our own maps.
And just having, I think because we had the three of us and there were probably three or four of our other friends, including Josie Porter.
And Josh.
Yeah, and Jeremy's brother and a number of other people. They would hop on and play with us. So we had a group of like eight people frequently that were all playing together and it was just an insane amount of fun.
And and we're all on headsets. We're all hearing each other and
talking mad shit.
Yeah, talking. But because a lot of times we would, in Halo, there is a function in a lot of games now where you can create your own worlds and maps. You can build your own maps. You can give them rules, how many grenades, what happens. And we used to build these maps, and we used to play them all the time. And I miss that because Halo, is it Halo 4 or is it Halo 5?
That's out. The newest one?
Yeah.
I think it's Halo 5.
Halo 5 came out, and we were all real excited about it. I bought an Xbox for it. I bought the Halo edition of Xbox, and I was not going to buy an Xbox One, but I bought it because I was like, okay, Halo 5's coming out. Got to do it. And their map, you can create maps there, but it is so difficult now to make a map. Do you? Because we tried to.
Jeremy did. Yeah,
I remade our special map.
Yes.
And actually, once you learn how to use it, there actually is much easier to line things up. But what they did not put in there were the point modifications that we rely on so heavily for our Dutch Rudder.
Yes.
So
it's
our splatters.
What was the name of it again?
Dutch Rudder. Dutch Rudder.
Our splatters are still only worth 1 point, sadly.
If you don't know what a Dutch Rudder is, Google it right now.
Unless you're on a work computer, in which case, don't do that.
Go for it. But, Halo has just changed the game, and you have Call of Duty, and recently you have Overwatch as a first-person shooter.
But it's kind of an interesting combination with Overwatch, because it's like that massively multiplayer online battle arena, I think is what they call those, right?
Well, so it's like, there's no campaign whatsoever in Overwatch. Right. It is just online. However, you have a team of six on each team. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's like Halo. You have a team of four or five or whatever. And you just versus each other. You just try to kill the other team.
Yeah.
And that's exactly, until you beat your objective. Kind of like, there's no capture the flag, but there's like kind of scenarios of like, King of the Mountain or something like that. And it's so good. And instead of like having all the same players like Halo, they're so different characters with different weapons and different abilities. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool how you have that. And like, it's these games are very addicting.
Yeah.
Like Halo or Call of Duty, because you want to be the best you can. You like playing online with your friends.
And did you ever get into Call of Duty much?
I absolutely did. Yeah. I played that consistently for a long time. Modern Warfare 2, actually.
Gotcha.
Where that, in Modern Warfare 2 was an excellent game and an excellent campaign. And there was a very controversial part of the game where you actually play a terrorist shooting up everybody in an airport.
Oh, man.
And, like, civilians. Like, you just go into a crowded airport, and your goal is to kill everybody because you're undercover as a terrorist. And if you don't shoot anybody, the terrorists were going to figure it out, and they'd kill you. But what was so cool about that game also was that a lot of the fighting took place on U.S. soil, which looked crazy and, scary.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But that game was a lot of fun. And plus, you have the online playability where you can verse people.
And Call of Duty originally started as a World War II single-player game, I think, right?
I believe so, yes.
I think it was PlayStation that it came out on.
Right.
And it was great. I loved those Call of Duty Medal of Honor.
Yep.
That was another one.
Yeah.
That was a first-person shooter.
And then now they've added zombies to Call of Duty.
Yeah.
You can battle the zombie apocalypse.
Zombies, now it's a lot of Modern Warfare type stuff.
Yeah.
Isn't Call of Duty coming out with a new game soon?
Yes, they are. And I'm trying to remember what it is.
I don't know.
I can't remember. But yeah, Doom is in there. What else do we have? What do I have written down?
Battlefield?
Battlefield, yes.
Battlefield 1 coming out soon.
Yeah.
Which is the World War 1 game. It looks amazing.
World War 1. I like it. I want to talk about RPGs because one of my favorite RPGs in college that I played for hours and hours, and I'm sure you both played, which I wish they would come out with the sequel to it, is Knights of the Old Republic.
Absolutely.
Why have they not done that?
Well, they've done this but they need
the sequel to Knights of the Old Republic 2 was right. The one that I played in college in the early 2000s, and you can become a Jedi or a Sith, and how that worked is the choices you made during the game would change your story of the game.
Yeah.
Did you play it?
Put the shit out of it.
I think all three of us played the living Jesus out of that game.
Why has Star Wars not released a third one?
Well, they seem to have been focused on the Old Republic multiplayer online game for PC.
Which is actually really good. You just have to be willing to commit to playing an MMO.
It's like World of Warcraft, but for Star Wars.
Yeah. And it's great. It's a beautiful, fantastic game.
Yeah.
But Knights of the Old Republic, there's like this story. There's something there.
It's
different.
I think
the fans want that.
Yeah, I think. Whether they want it, they know they want it or not. They definitely want it.
they definitely want it.
BioWare is working on something now.
Yeah, they may just be doing an expansion for the online thing or a sequel, but I'm hoping it's going to be like console single player stuff.
It's going to be like its own separate, like not
good.
Tied specifically to.
I can't wait
to the MMO.
And these guys haven't played it, I don't think, but I recently purchased No Man's Sky. And I'm very disappointed in it.
Are you really?
I want to sell it. I'm going to sell it.
That fast?
That fast.
Why?
It has so much potential. So if you haven't heard of No Man's Sky, it's been talked about for a while through the gaming community. It has been delayed and delayed. And it had something that no other game had. It had this engine where it created like 18 quadrillion or something like that. Planets that you could go visit. Yes, and I'm not exaggerating. That is you can go to any of these planets.
So it's legitimately like a galaxy that you can travel through.
Many galaxies. It's just there's so much, and each planet is different with plant life and animals and stuff that you can discover. And you basically kind of like the campaign of it, if you can call it that, is to get to the center of the universe. Otherwise, you're just going around discovering things. It is. Super boring. For the first few hours, you're like, okay, this is kind of cool. And then each planet, I've been to several planets, and it's literally like the same planet.
Oh, that sucks.
And like the graphics aren't that great. And it's just the part of the game is that you have to keep yourself alive on another planet. You have to fuel your ship, and you need minerals and elements to do that. So you're constantly having to mine minerals and elements and keep them. And then do these things, and it just is so tedious and so redundant, and it just I wish there was like a Halo aspect where you're like trying to fight somebody or anything like that.
Yeah.
Because with this such an expansion like this of this game, it seems like it's limitless, but it is so limited in what you can do.
That sounds like no fun at all.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is.
Because we were just talking about it before you got here, Jeremy and I.
Really?
We were like, we want to get a PlayStation just so we can play No Man's
Sky.
Well,
you have a PlayStation. No, you have the Xbox. Damn it. So, how about this? Well, I'll make you a deal. I will bring over my PS4 to one of you guys. You can play it.
Okay.
Y'all can play it. You can see. I mean, the first few hours, you're like, okay. But then it's just like, okay, where do I go from here? Oh, it's
what
the same
else?
Thing.
Gotcha.
So, it's... There's that. I mean, it looks cool on the planet-wise and stuff like that, but when you're on the planet, it's just... I expected something better.
That's disappointing.
Trust me, spent money on it.
You know, last week I rented the new version of Doom for Xbox One.
Yeah.
Talking about a first-person shooter here. And I was excited about it because Bethesda did it. They did Wolfenstein. They did Skyrim.
Well, Bethesda didn't do it. It did it.
Oh, but
Bethesda
was
published it, but it is the developer.
So it also, I think, did Wolfenstein, right?
Yes, correct.
So it's the same kind of idea. I was disappointed in it. I mean, at first, same thing with No Man's Sky, I think. I played it for about 2 hours at first, and I was like, this is pretty cool. It looks good. It feels good. And then I got bored with it really fast. And about 4 hours in, I just gave up.
No.
It was just boring. I mean, it was just you're running around at top speed, essentially, which is very much Doom. They captured that vibe. But nowadays, it's like you want more, you know?
Right.
And it just wasn't delivering.
Which sucks. Yeah. I'll say my favorite RPG I've ever played, that still I don't think has come close to it, is Eternal Darkness for the GameCube. Have you ever played this movie? Or not movie, this game?
No, I haven't even, I've heard of it.
Eternal Darkness was amazing, and it was super scary. You play this chick in modern time who kind of inherits like her grandfather's old house, and it turns out to be haunted, and then she starts discovering these things that you go back in time and play as these other characters, and it's like hell and evil and demons and shit like that, and then all this stuff starts to happen in the modern time, and it's super scary.
That sounds incredible.
Dude, it is so good. I played this in college, and I really thought some of the stuff was real, because in these games, you have a health meter, you have a magic meter, maybe. In this game, it had a sanity meter. So if your sanity was way down, the game would start to like look fuzzy, or it would turn your TV off, then your TV on. It would show like bugs crawling on the screen. It freaked me out. I thought it was going to become real life for a second.
That's really cool.
Eternal Darkness. If you can find this game, Eternal Darkness, please play it. And I'd like to give a shout out also to the old school computer games, Phantasmagoria and Phantasmagoria 2, which were all filmed in real life, but you would kind of click on the screen and tell these people where to go, and they were super horrific, rated X stuff.
Nice.
Highly recommend it. You can probably go online and download something online that you can play Phantasmagoria 1 and 2. Highly recommend it. But Eternal Darkness, if you have a Wii or GameCube or something like that, find that game and try to see the dog even likes it.
I think that's Maggie snoring, actually.
Yeah. I love your dog, Maggie.
So you said that Eternal Darkness ranks higher than Knights of the Old Republic?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Gotcha.
Eternal Darkness is, I want to go back and play it. And they optioned the movie rights, but they've never followed through with it.
That's disappointing.
It would be so scary. It's so good.
We mentioned BioWare earlier, talking about Knights of the Old Republic.
Right.
They've made so many of my favorite RPGs. I really think if one developer has cornered the market on RPGs, it would be BioWare.
Yes.
Yeah, and so many of these that were great that were under the radar, like the Jade Empire game that they made.
Jade Empire was awesome.
So good.
It was kind of like, if, for those of you that have played some RPGs, if you played Dragon Age or if you played Mass Effect or Knights of the Old Republic, Jade Empire was the same game, essentially, but with Kung Fu characters.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
That's...
It just got overlooked, I think, because I want to say it came out, like, right at maybe the end of the first Xbox's, like, kind of life cycle right before, and so it just kind of, I think, got overlooked, but was a fantastic game.
I agree. It was amazing. And so was Mass Effect 1, 2, 3, and the original Dragon Age game. The second one blew, but the original was great. And then, of course, Dragon Age Inquisition, which is the most recent BioWare console game, I think.
Nobody expects the Inquisition. He doesn't get it.
I don't get it.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. You said Inquisition. Fuck me.
Maybe later.
Maybe later.
Yeah, so Dragon Age Inquisition was an incredible RPG game.
Okay.
And it's pretty new, so anyone who doesn't have that yet should go out and get it.
Good. Well, I think that we're going to be talking about video games in other podcasts, but or other episodes, but I think we'll end this to get on to our other topics. But let us know what your favorite RPGs, what your favorite first-person shooters are on our Facebook and Twitter, and we'll mention them next time. But let's move on. Let's move on to comedy specials. So we've all grown. We all like to laugh. We love comedy. I have a pretty good record collection, and a good chunk of those are comedy albums. I grew up on George Carlin, Steve Martin, Rodney Dangerfield, Eddie Murphy, Red Fox, and I just love these hour stand-up specials because a lot of them are, you know, either silly. Some of them are like truthful and like, oh, it makes you look at it in a different light. What are some of your favorites that you grew up on that have always stuck with you, like comedy specials or comedians that you just love to quote?
Oh, man, comedy specials? I'll let you go first on that one. I'm trying to think of one that's...
If I had to think of my all-time favorite comedy special, I'm going to go ahead and say Eddie Izzard, his special Dressed to Kill.
Okay, yeah, that brought him out, basically.
Yeah.
That is
a brilliant piece of comedy work, and there's just... I love Eddie Izzard's style. He's so intelligent, he's so witty, and so fast.
Yes.
I saw him live, actually, in Hollywood, and it was almost hard to keep pace with his mind. He's just so very fast thinking that it's hard to stay up with there. But it was amazing. He's, in my opinion, one of the best stand-ups ever.
Yeah, so that I did not expect that.
Yeah, that's my
number
one favorite.
That's more of a modern one. Okay, number one favorite. What? Give me a couple others.
Delirious by Eddie Murphy.
Okay, I mean, that's classic.
Raw's great, too, but I think Delirious wins, in my opinion.
Delirious was the one when he was in the red leather get-up.
Yes. And then he was the purple one for Raw.
Raw, yes. Yeah.
Both were amazing.
Both were amazing. Okay.
Yeah, Delirious was earlier than Raw, so it's a little bit... I think, wouldn't you say was Delirious a little edgier than Raw?
I think they're both pretty...
They're both very edgy, yeah. But I feel like Delirious was just a little bit better.
A little bit. It's the first one.
Pretty great. Yeah. You know, anything by George Carlin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to list that. Yeah.
So, George Carlin, which specific comedy bit or...
Man, you know, I don't remember really the titles of him, because I feel like there's just so much like George Carlin stuff out there, because he didn't really do a lot of movies, a lot of TV. I mean, he just did stand-up, so for me there's almost so much out there. It sounds funny, but I have almost trouble keeping track of like what joke was on.
So I put George Carlin on there. I really liked You Are All Diseased, which was, I guess, the 90s, and that's where he talked about how he hated, because George Carlin used to have like, he always had bits, but George Carlin at some point in his career just became an old grumpy man, and he hated everything.
That's my favorite version of him.
So he's great. So like in You Are All Diseased, he hated that, you know, these businessmen would drive motorcycles across country, and he called it the pussification of like the guy, and it was so good. He talked about people smoking cigars. He did his thing on the Ten Commandments, on how there really should only be like maybe one. Basically, just not be pricks.
Yeah.
And keep thy religion to thyself. I mean, he did the whole thing on it. He was so good. And like how his thing about football and baseball, how like football is regimen. Baseball ends whenever it ends.
See, I liked his thing about baseball. He was saying it would be made a much more interesting game if there were landmines in the outfield.
Yes. He said that about basketball, too. He said, like, I want to watch basketball, but I want a 2-second shot clock.
Yeah.
I want that ball up in the air. And in the last, like, 3 minutes of the game, if you bounce a ball off the other player's head and get it, 50 points.
I'm pretty sure he also said something about how in every Super Bowl halftime, there should be public executions. Where I think he said they just fire a dude out of a cannon into a brick wall or something like that.
Yes. 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 And he did the whole thing of stuff. Like, your other people's stuff is called shit, but your shit is stuff.
Yeah.
And he did the whole thing on it.
And how essentially we're just chasing ways to store our stuff in life.
Yeah.
We're trying to acquire stuff, and then we need bigger places to store our stuff.
Our stuff. And then when we go all out to vacation, we bring some of our stuff with us. Yeah.
You know, you've probably heard of this guy, Bill Hicks.
Bill Hicks is great.
He's another one of my favorites. Another very political comedian,
yes,
and very intelligent, like Carlin.
Yes,
and I like that.
Those guys, they had a message to them too. Like
they want you to think. They want to do good with their comedy.
Yeah,
actually.
They were very
socially aware.
Yeah, and like on a psychological standpoint, just so with it.
Yeah,
and they made it funny.
They did.
They are so good. George Carlin was great. I remember the day George Carlin died. I was seeing Tom Waits in Houston. And that day, I got the update that he died. So I think in the Dallas newspaper, the next day was, oh, Tom Waits plays in Dallas and George Carlin died on the same page.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man, what a crazy crazy thing that is. Andrew Dice Clay is a big one for me. Like when he sold that Madison Square Garden with the leather jacket and did the smoking and did all of the nursery rhymes, you know, Little Miss Muffets.
See, I missed that. I like my generation barely missed that.
You know that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all the nursery rhymes, all the Mother Goose nursery rhymes of Andrew Dice Clay are still iconic to this day.
Well, I see, I've heard them, but I think I missed the why it's funny because I've heard it in retrospect. So I wasn't there when it was new.
You know, it's pretty common now where comedians can sell out an arena, but back then they didn't. And Andrew Dice Clay was the first person to see, he sold out Madison Square Garden as just a comedy act.
Yeah.
He wasn't, there was no music, it was just him.
Now you got guys like Dan Cook and stuff like that.
Dan Cook.
Hey.
Dan Cook is the worst.
Dan Cook was amazing.
Dan Cook was not amazing. Listened to it? It was so bad.
I'm not ashamed to say that his first couple albums and specials on Comedy Central, I loved.
No.
I saw him live. He was amazing.
No way.
Yes way. What do you think, Jeremy?
What do you think, Jeremy? I don't want to talk about this anymore.
I said I'm not ashamed to say it.
Well, I have a question. So with the Dice Clay stuff, with the Kings of Comedy tour where you had like Bernie Mac and Steve Harvey, like those guys were selling, was that before Andrew Dice Clay? Or
yeah, Andrew Dice Clay was like early 80s.
Was it?
Yes. That was like, I mean, it was like nostalgia. Yeah, that was not 90s. That was 80s.
Okay. I wasn't sure time frame wise.
Yeah. No.
That all fit in.
No, that was, I mean, but.
So he was doing bigger places than like Robin Williams was?
Yeah, because Robin Williams would play like a theater, but not Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. I mean, Robin Williams also has some amazing specials.
Dude, yeah. His
are like, across the board, his specials are probably my favorite.
Because Robin Williams, I mean, may he rest in peace, he was amazing, brilliant, dramatic actor, and just all-around funny guy. But his mind, talk about somebody's mind works
fast. Yeah, they're just
like,
really fast.
You really just... It was funny because right after he died, Billy Crystal went on The View to talk with Whoopi Goldberg about it. And they talked about doing their comedy charity thing.
It was a comedy special where they just raised money. Three of them went out and did stand-up.
Yeah, they all did that. And the hosts were Billy Crystal, Whoopi Goldberg, and Robin Williams. And they said one of their funniest memories was Billy and Whoopi would have to, like... Robin Williams was like their crazy kid. They're like, we don't know what he's going to do. We just have to kind of wrangle him because he's like all over the place because he has a bit, but then he could go off on a tangent and make it damn funny.
He was one of the funniest people ever.
And Billy Crystal would always talk about that it didn't matter like how great he was. Like Billy Crystal, it wouldn't matter how great that I was any night. No matter how great I was, he was always faster.
Yeah, he was. Because he had the voices, he was so good, and that which brings me into Steve Martin. Because Steve Martin, I wish still did big stand up things like I did wish Eddie Murphy did. But Steve Martin was perfect as a stand up comedian because he was so silly. He was like
so charming and likable.
He was like he had the arrow through his head, and you know, one of his bits is you know just it's like. People come up and ask me, how are you so funny? He's like, I'll tell you my secret. Before I go on stage, I put a slice of bologna in each one of my shoes so I feel funny. You know, it's just silly stuff like that. You know, that's great. And like his whole act was like that.
Yeah.
And nobody else could do that.
Nobody else could do that.
Like when you said it wasn't funny.
Yeah. You laughed, but
we were imagining him tell the joke.
Yeah, exactly. No, but yeah, he had better timing and delivery than I do for sure. But he's my favorite. And just hearing his comedy albums is just so funny. And I wish he would go back to it because he hasn't done it in decades.
Your little brother is a huge fan of his.
Yeah. Your brother and I used to listen to him all the time.
Yeah, and Steve Martin is one of the few guys that can make a comedy album that you can listen to, and you can listen to it and it's funny. Most comedians, if you're not watching them, they're not really funny.
Right. But Steve, you definitely can. And he plays the banjo on stage. I mean, he's talent.
We still haven't heard what you think about Dane Cook. You've dodged that bullet.
Every 5 minutes with Dane Cook here.
No, I just want to know.
I'm going to mute this.
We're going to edit all of this out later.
You know, Dane Cook is different. I feel like there's less like kind of setup in jokes with Dane Cook, and it's more of like just him kind of telling stories and observations. And you know, he's got the one like the nothing fights that was always kind of funny to me. So I mean, it kind of depends. I'm Right, I like him.
Dane Cook, your dog shit. Come at me, bro. I don't like
He's
you.
He's scary now. He's got like the Lemmy chops and he works out and stuff.
Come
He's
at scary. Me. I don't like you, Dane Cook. I don't like your comedy. I don't like your jerk-off face. I just shattered.
Wow.
Adder Perry's
Shots
dream.
Fired.
Shots fired.
So what about newer comedians? Is there anybody?
Louis C.K.
Louis C.K. is king.
God. And I like Aziz Ansari as an actor. I do not like his stand-up.
Yeah, I agree. I think his stand-up is so-so. His show, Master of Nothing, that's on Netflix,
is excellent.
Amazing.
He was great on Parks and Rec. But Louis C.K., Louis Black, maybe?
Bill Burr.
Bill Burr is
Bill
great.
Burr is easily one of my favorite new stand-ups.
Dave Attell.
I actually watched Amy Schumer did an HBO special.
Yeah, it's good.
And that was really good. That was like the first time I've ever heard like her do like stand-up.
Amy Schumer is excellent. Silverman is excellent.
Sarah Silverman's one of my favorites.
Yeah,
too.
I love it. I have a crush on Sarah Silverman.
I haven't seen the special.
She's got
two.
One on HBO. Yeah, she has two of them.
And they're both great.
And Amy Schumer, a little bit of news for you. Amy Schumer said she is not doing her show anymore. So inside Amy Schumer on Comedy Central. Unfortunately. At least that's what our tweet said. Louis C.K. is probably my favorite. I've seen him live. He is excellent.
We also, this is not a newer one, but we can't not mention Richard Pryor.
Oh, Richard Pryor. My greatest memory of Richard Pryor, not personally, but like listening, what album was it? It was Dracula versus the Wino. Where how like Winos, he was going through like how drugs affect you. And he talked about a wino like nothing would affect a wino. And he's like, Dracula could come up to wino. And he's like, the wino was like, Dracula, what kind of name is that? It just like, it totally put Dracula in his place. That's how he sounds. Dracula.
I'm not laughing at the bit. I'm laughing at you.
I'm me. Oh, my gosh.
The show is living up to its name.
It is Mediocrity.
Now, speaking of winos, I always like Mitch Hedberg, his joke about the winos.
Mitch Hedberg is like, because he's dead, too.
He is, right? Rest in peace. But his wino joke was something like, the other day, I saw a wino eating grapes. And I was like, hey, man, you've got to wait.
Mediocre.
Mediocre. A little better than your Richard Pryor.
John Tenberg might be your Pryor.
Damn it. I'm no Richard Pryor. And I'm just going to say two words, and I don't want to, but I feel really guilty doing it. Bill Cosby.
To be fair, it's just like my...
To be fair, they were all asking for it.
I was going to say, like Michael Jackson, their art was still amazing, regardless of what they did in their personal life.
Michael Jackson was acquitted twice.
Yeah, but we don't know for sure.
We do for sure.
But so Bill Cosby, whatever he did and did not do in his personal life, we're not going to get into that. But his comedy, as a stand-up comedian, he was amazing.
Yeah, one of my favorite things was The Dentist, you know.
The Dentist and his whole thing with his son giving himself the mohawk, all of it was so good.
It's hard to not mention comedy stand-ups, but without mentioning Bill Cosby.
He was
amazing it's like,
as a stand-up comedian.
It's taboo to mention him now, but we're Mediocrity. We're going to mention him. He's better than Dane Cook. Maybe not personally. I don't know. Rodney Dangerfield, excellent.
Oh, yeah.
I love Rodney Dangerfield.
Going way back for that one.
And Woody Allen was great stand-up in his younger days.
I've never seen any of his stand-up.
Really?
Yeah.
I have an album. What was in Lenny Bruce. Lenny
of course
Bruce.
You would. You
I
would.
Do. I do. Let's move on. We only have a few minutes left. Let's move on. We're going to talk about animated TV shows. Strictly television shows. Because we watch a lot of movies, watch a lot of TV shows, but I would say, for me, I watch probably just as many animated stuff as I do like live action things. And we all grew up probably starting on animation.
Yeah.
Cartoons or whatever. So we all weren't alive for the first airings. Maybe Jeremy was for the Flintstones or something like that.
I think he was like 20 when those
he
came
was
out.
20, yes he was. Soul tied again.
I was just going to do some scratch math there, trying to figure it out.
It's hard to count that high.
Yeah. But, Flintstones and Rocky and Bullwinkle and the Jetsons, Scooby-Doo, these are all Hanna-Barbera type things. And these all paved the way for probably, I think, one of the best television show ever made. And I firmly believe the best television show ever made is an animated show. And that's The Simpsons. I think The Simpsons is the best show ever made. And it's still on. It's still glorious. Your thoughts?
Honestly, I haven't watched The Simpsons religiously ever.
Really?
Back when I actually had cable TV, you know what I mean?
Quotations, TV.
I mean, not like Netflix or whatever, when there's actually, channels that you need to surf. Back when I had that, every now and then I'd just watch it if it was on, but I never got really, really into it. I was always more of a Family Guy person.
So you were listening to Dane Cook. That's what you were doing.
And watching Family Guy and stuff like that.
So Family Guy, so you prefer Family Guy to Simpsons?
Yes, absolutely.
So I completely disagree.
Okay.
Very much so.
I know Simpsons paved the way for Family Guy.
No. I think Simpsons is a way smarter show than Family Guy. And I think it has more. It's emotional. Like, I cry in The Simpsons.
Wants to fight you today, doesn't it?
I do. I'm getting
punched right in the balls over and over.
Shotgun straight
How
to the
you
dick.
Think it's smarter than Family Guy.
So Family Guy is basically it's set up and joke, and then let's show a quick.
But it's smart humor.
It's not smart humor.
It is.
It is not on.
So Homer's donut eating and being, Homer is funny. Is smart, I mean? That's, how's that?
Dude, there's an episode of The Simpsons where Homer, has, how many shows can I do this? How many episodes? Where Homer eats a lot of hot chili peppers and goes on an acid trip.
I've seen that episode.
Finds himself. Yes, he finds himself finds himself in who he is and what he's supposed to do, and it's hilarious.
Isn't that smart though?
No, that is a very smart show.
It's
that's
funny, but I mean that episode is funny. But
I don't think there's anything smart about Family Guy. I think Family Guy is funny.
Oh,
well, the first three seasons are funny of Family Guy.
Good God. The first three seasons are the worst. Are you kidding me?
The worst. If you want to say Family Guy was smart, I would say the first three seasons had aspect of it. But it's definitely not.
Have you not watched the Star Wars Family Guy specials?
Yes, I have.
And you didn't like those?
I'm not saying I didn't like them. I'm saying it's not a smart show. And Simpsons is better, I think, because it's so on the nose. It's set up punchline and then let's flashback to whatever they're talking about and then back to it. Simpsons totally.
So you're saying because there are flashbacks, it cannot be intelligent?
No, not at all. I just don't think it's a smart show. I think Simpsons is way on a higher level. I think South Park's on a higher level too.
What do you prefer, Jeremy?
Mute.
Yeah, because I guess we can throw South Park in there. It's one of the big three of animated comedy for adults, right?
Yeah, because South Park, I think, is a very smart show. It's satirical, or is that a word? Satire.
Satirical.
Because it used to be not, in the first few seasons of South Park, it didn't have that. But now it's they do political and
South
Park's topical
smart
stuff.
I'll give that.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jeremy?
I think, let's see, between the three, I've probably watched more of The Simpsons. I've watched probably very little South Park. I do appreciate that Family Guy, the characters all are shaped like penises, though. It's hard.
If anything will sell it for this guy,
it's hard to bypass all the dicks on that show.
It's hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeremy can't bypass a dick.
Yeah.
I can't.
You can't beat him either.
You can try.
We missed you.
Just whether or not you can get them all.
We've gone off the rails again, talking about dicks.
At my age, you're not supposed to pass the bathroom or dicks. So.
Oh, there you go. My God. I'm glad you said it.
That's why he's hobbling.
That's why he's hobbling. Just masturbation incident in the bathroom.
Vigorous.
Anger.
I fell over.
I'm sorry, folks, if you're listening.
Yeah, this is terrible.
But this is
what are some other great animated shows?
Futurama, smartest I think that has ever been. Like the
oh my god,
funniest.
I hate Futurama.
How the fuck are you ranking cartoons by intelligence?
How do you? Because it's so damn funny too. How do you hate Futurama?
It's just not funny to me. I just don't. I don't. I for whatever reason, I can't get into it.
Have you? How many episodes have you seen?
Like 10, because they're all not funny.
10 episodes!
My favorite part was just in watching Brian's face twitch.
I'm about to blow up right now. Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah,
I haven't seen that show. What's it about?
Futurama?
Yeah.
See?
My gosh. It's like The Simpsons, creator of The Simpsons, and it's a futuristic world, and the main character is Fry, who's an idiot. Who's frozen from like 1990s and thousand years later.
It's a space version of Encino Man.
There's an episode where Fry literally becomes his own grandfather by way of time travel. If you think about that, that is amazing.
So funny.
So funny, I forgot to laugh.
Jeremy, what about you? Like, what are some animated shows that you got really into when you were a kid, when you're like older now? What?
Did you ever watch Beavis and Butthead?
Not really. I watched a little bit of Beavis and Butthead.
Because that was a good animated show ahead of its time.
Yeah, but since that was MTV, I think that was more cable-based.
So I know one of your favorites is X-Men, right? The X-Men cartoon.
Yeah.
So did you stick toward the superhero drama cartoons?
Probably a little bit more.
Yeah.
You like that in the Batman animated series, right?
Yeah, I'm actually rewatching the Batman animated series. It's actually the Batman animated series that I'm going through, I'm like season two. It's much more superhero-y than I remember.
So, Batman...
I remember being very, like, kind of dark and gothic, and it's way, way less that than I remember.
Well, you have to get to, like, Beyond, right? To get to, like, the real dark stuff, right?
Even Beyond is not that dark.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I'm watching it now, I'm like, wow, it's like, much more superhero. I mean, it's not like Super Friends or anything like that, but... It's, you know, still much more.
Would you say X-Men, the animated show, was one of your favorites? I remember watching that with you when I spent the night.
It's good. I think probably the Batman animated series is my favorite of those types of shows.
See, I like those. I love Cowboy Bebop. I like that anime style.
Now, for you guys were probably both into, in the right time period, for the Transformers cartoon,
yes,
right?
Yeah, yes,
absolutely.
I watched G.I. Joe. I watched He-Man. I was a big He-Man fan.
Yeah, see, I missed all of those. I mean, Transformers to me were Beast Wars. That was the cartoon that I was watching.
Beast Wars.
Yeah.
The Transformers Light.
Yeah, exactly.
The budget Transformers.
Next Generation.
Yes. The Beast Wars.
Yeah, the Transformers, that was on Netflix not too long ago, and that did not hold up.
Okay.
Did the rewatching of some of that, I was it was tough.
All right. Yeah, anime, and one that's on recently that's only had two seasons, which I think is just unbelievably funny, adult, very smart, Rick and Morty off Cartoon Network. Damn.
See, I haven't caught that one yet.
Watch the first season. It's so good.
There's only a handful of Cartoon Network things that I ever, like, really watched, and one of them was the Star Wars, Clone Wars, Cartoon Network cartoons, which were so good.
Those were DVDs for that shit at home.
Yes. Yeah, it's so good.
Those were good. But see, I also like Aqua Teen Hunger Force and Squidbillies.
Yeah, I never watched any of that stuff.
Samurai Jack was fucking awesome.
And they're coming back with Samurai Jack. Yeah, Samurai Jack is coming back.
Because the dude that did those two Clone Wars movies, did the Samurai Jack.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, let us know your favorite and the worst ones. You've got to convince Atterbury, Jonathan... New American Fitness, that Futurama and Simpsons are the best shows ever.
See, like, for me, I was more like the Nickelodeon generation. So I was watching Doug and Ariel Monsters.
So I did, too. I liked Rugrats. I liked Doug.
Yeah.
We used to make a joke that Jeremy's little brother looked exactly like Doug Funny growing up.
That sounds about right.
He hated it.
Oh,
he hated
so
it. He would get so mad at me because I would like start singing the theme song, and he was so pissed about
I'll
it.
I'll try to find some old pictures.
I might have some, and you're like, man... Look like Doug Funny.
The haircut, the clothes.
That's perfect.
Yeah, he had the sweater vests. And the
maybe
the
we can
pants.
Find a picture and share it on Twitter.
Yes.
See what everyone thinks.
That'll be great. He'll get so mad. It'll be so good. But yeah, that's animated TV shows. And we have gone over an hour. It seems like this went by fast, right?
Yeah. How long have we gone now?
An hour and 3 minutes.
Oh my God.
So that's our episode 9. We'll be back with our episode X. 10. Oh my God. We're going to have something special planned for that.
Don't know what yet, but something.
We're mediocrity. We're mediocre. We're just okay. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, and we're thank you for joining us.